morning. Happy Sunday to everyone. Let's just welcome Jesus into this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're here with us already. You were here before the doors were open, and you're here now, and you're going to be here when the doors shut, because this is your house, this is your abode, and we are here, Lord, with you. Oh, God, we want to come into your presence today with hearts that are open for you. Please open our hearts today, Jesus, and may we learn of you today. May we take something home with us, Lord. Oh, God, because you're wanting to help us, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. Oh, we bless your holy name today, for you are great. Well, years ago, when my husband and I first got married, we went to a church in Taze Valley. And the church there, when you would go in the doors, if you were a new person, people, you know, someone they never saw before there, they would give you a little card. And on the card, it would have scriptures to read every single day. So they gave me one of those, and I kept it in my Bible, and I did my best to try to read those scriptures on a daily basis or near daily basis. One of the scriptures went kind of like this. It's Isaiah 26, 3, and I'm reading it out of the Amplified Bible. I love the Amplified Bible. It just kind of spells it all out for you. Here's what it says. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So that tells me that if we keep our mind and our focus on Jesus, we don't have to look at all this other stuff going on over here. If our focus is on the Lord, he's going to keep our mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, that's shouting ground right there. That'll take you from the cradle to the grave, people. If you're wanting to walk with Jesus, that's your scripture right there. That covers it from start to finish, keeping your focus and your mind on him, the author and finisher of your faith. So if you want to know how to walk it, that's how you walk it, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And I'm excited about it, and so let's just praise the Lord for that scripture right now. Thank you, Jesus, for that word. Oh, Lord, you've got all kinds of promises in there, and this is one, Jesus, another one of your promises that we can hang on to and hold on to in our heart. Lord, we love you, and may we review this day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
That was wonderful. That was wonderful. Thank you, honey. That was really good. What she's basically saying is, if we want to be in a good position, stay obedient. Stay obedient to what God wants you to do. Folks, when it comes right down to it, I know it's not maybe the most enjoyable way of looking at it, but when Paul said to live as Christ, to die as gain, he really laid his flesh out on the table, didn't he? I mean, just laid it out for God to do his work. And I think Paul was through squirming. And so wonderful, honey. I really appreciated that. My name is John Sandy. My wife, Cynthia. This is the Paulson Gasaway, West Virginia. Whether you're with us live or on delay, we love having you with us and appreciate your response and sharing the program so others may get help as well if you've received help. We are on part three on our new series entitled, God is Looking for a People Who Are Looking for Him. Faith is not when you get in a car in the middle of the night and turn your lights out and go 100 miles an hour. That's not faith. I said in the car going up, if you were to set a sinner beside Satan, you would have dumb and dumber. Because that's exactly what sin will do. Sin will cause you to do dumb stuff. How else is he going to kill, steal, and destroy unless you do a lot of dumb stuff? You know, God has called us to have wisdom, to walk in wisdom, and to pray for wisdom, right? So we're going to pick up on part three of where we left off last week, and you can catch this on the Pulse Gasaway, the website. Just go to the Pulse Gasaway on Facebook, and you can find, and I have a podcast entitled Growing with God, and you can find all these series I've done on there as well. Just glad to have you with us. Looking back just for a moment, we did talk a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to get into detail, if we have time today, on the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, both of them. Because in getting to know God, you had to get close. He said, seek my face. That's pretty close. What he wants you to do is seek his personality. Once we know his personality, then our personality changes. Where God wants us to be like him, he wants us also to act like him, right? The way he loves us, we should love him and, of course, each other. So in review just for a moment, the Bible tells us that out of the heart flows the abundance of life, okay? Now, that abundance can be good or bad. You can have you can live abundantly in sin or in the Lord. Now, of course, we often think of abundance as a positive thing. But whatever flows out of your heart and you have an abundance of, that's like going up to someone and say, you want me to move all those rocks over here? Well, there's quite an abundance of rocks there. See, it doesn't have to be something positive. It's just a lot of. Abundance is a lot of. So we need to be careful that we understand the scripture, that it could be referring to good or bad. When we talk about seeds, we could talk about good or bad seeds, and we can talk about scripture as far as the things that flow out of our heart can be good or bad. And so we have to need to take our temperature. They can be blessings or curses. So let's start out after that with 1 Thessalonians 5:22. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And it says, quote, if we are to flee from the appearance of evil, then we need to flee from the appearance of bad fruit. You know, we talked about fruit last week a little bit. How bad fruit rots from the inside out. How fruit has a taste to it. What kind of taste does the fruit leave in your mouth? And sometimes bad fruit is hard to swallow. So we talked a little bit about that. How trees, if a tree has bad fruit, then you have to look at the tree and the roots as well. You have to look at the whole package, because sometimes when you see bad fruit, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but if you've ever been in a room with someone that's gossiping about someone else or talking down about someone else that you know, are you not reminded at that moment to be careful because you may be next? See, bad fruit doesn't have respect for persons. It's bad fruit no matter who eats it. And so if you meet someone that is spewing bad fruit, look at the whole tree. Look at the roots of that person's life, because there's a lot of stuff coming out of that comment when they make that comment. And I tell people quite often, when someone is mean to you, I tell them this: you're not the first and you won't be the last of that person doing that. And it's really not as personal as we take it. Because they attack the flesh, they attack our personality and who we are, but really, it's not quite as personal as you think, because they'll turn right around and do the same thing to someone else. So when you see someone with bad fruit, be aware of the whole tree. It's not isolated. See, the bad fruit comes out of a deeper problem, much deeper problem. So be careful when you run across this that you use wisdom, okay? The appearance or translation of the word in Greek, the word appearance, translates into form, kind, or sight. So how important is it to rightly recognize bad fruit? We must not walk as fools. Now, what do I mean by that? If you don't have wisdom, you're going to make some poor choices, because you're making your own choices. So when you see someone acting a certain way, Wisdom dictates that you guard yourself around them. Do you find yourself just sharing a lot with people that you don't trust? No, we tend not to share. Why? Because we know that what we see in their life, they can take what you say and use it against you. So it's important that whenever we come into a situation where we're with other people and they're not acting right, first of all, try not to take it personal. I know it seems personal, but if you watch their lives, you will not be the first or last person they treat like this. It's a spiritual warfare that's taking place. We already know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Don't confuse emotions for compassion. This is really important. Ellie and I were talking yesterday about how some people do things out of revelation or a word from God or obedience. The other person may appear to be doing the same thing, but they're doing it from emotions. We have to be very careful that we never let emotions lead the way. Never let emotions in itself make your decisions. Never in itself. So whatever you're going through, if you would give yourself to the Lord and give ear to Him, He can help us. He can help us to see that as we walk through this life, if we will simply, He said, ask for wisdom. And if you don't doubt, you will receive it in abundance. Why does He say that? Because wisdom is connected, directly connected to our faith. How is it? How can you have faith in something you don't understand? How can you have faith in something that you don't know anything about? How can you claim God's promises if you've never read them in the Bible? There are people that grasp for God when they're not trained in the Word. They'll say things like they'll find out they get a bad diagnosis from a doctor. They go to someone, would you please pray for me? And it's wonderful, we want to. They'll say, doesn't it say somewhere in the Old or New Testament something about his stripes were healed? See, that's not being grounded in the Word. That's not knowing the Word. See, we are not to just know the Word. We are to live the Word. That's what a living sacrifice does. We walk in the Word. We live the Word. We live it by revelation. Now you say, how do I get revelation on God's Word? First of all, you trust Him. Without feelings, without understanding everything, you have chosen this day. The Bible says to choose. You select. You go to the store. You pick out the book in the library you want. You chose the Bible. If you choose the Bible, you stand on the Bible, you stand on the Word, you're not going by your feelings, you're not going by what other people say or think, you're not going by popularity, you're going by your choice and your decision to choose the Word. And once you do that, then you begin to submit yourself to the Word without the feelings leading the way, without understanding everything, but you are trusting. Now this is not, people like to use the expression blind faith. When I was teaching, someone wanted to do an article on me in the paper, and they entitled the paper Blind Faith. That's not good, but they meant it in a right way, and I understand that. They meant it in a very kind way, but really, faith is not blind. Faith is trusting in something greater than yourself. Trace is saying, I can trust you, God. I believe you. I can trust you without feeling anything, without understanding everything, without wisdom in its fullest extent of the word. But we are seeking Him. And as you seek Him every day, He will increase, listen to me, He will increase your knowledge. Amen. He will increase your wisdom. Amen. He will increase your understanding. Amen. And what comes with that after that? He will confirm His word through your emotions. We are never to let emotions replace God's leadings, God's word. So here we are, we walk by faith. We're not allowing the winds and the waves that come at us to affect our walk. We walk steady because we're on solid ground. And I promise you, if you'll trust our God, without understanding sometimes, without full knowledge, without full wisdom, but because you have chosen this day, you have selected this day to trust Him, now He begins to do His part. God is looking for a people that are looking for Him. We leave out the second part. God, where are you? I don't understand. Why can't this happen? Why hasn't this happened? They've done this, they've done that, they've done this. Why has this not happened? See, that is not walking by faith. That's walking by emotions. Do you need faith if you already know the end result? I mean, if you already see a picture, you know, I've used this illustration before. If I say, by faith, I'm going to sit in that chair. Well, I could be diverted. I could be called out somewhere. The lights could go out. I'm not make it. I may not get there. So whenever you believe in something by faith, the word I used yesterday in our Connect group Friday was faith. You equate faith with the words, it's time. Now, if I said to you, and I sit in that chair right now, and I say, I believe by faith I can sit in this chair. Will you say, well, of course, you're sitting in it right now. That's what faith is. Bible tells you that by faith you were healed. We don't go to God and say, Lord, would you please heal Mary? Lord, would you please do this? Lord, would you please do that? Because that's not what the Word told us to do. The Word told us that when you see a need, lay hands on the sick that they may what? Recover. Call the elders of the church so that you can pray for the sick that they may what? Recover. Why do we say that? Because He can say that because He's already paid for it. There's not a single thing that will touch your life physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, that has not already been paid for. Not a single thing in this life. He has given you, just like when He created the world, He has not created any more cows. He's not created any more chickens. No more trees. No more oxygen. Nothing. He has not created one new thing since He created. Why? Because He created them with a seed. And everything comes out of that seed. So God provided on day one, now listen to this, on day one, God provided the earth with, how many billions of people do we have now? Is it about 6 or 7 billion people on the face of the earth? Do you know that the earth was equipped to handle them right then? He prepared for everything on day 1 through 6. He prepared for everything until He comes again. He says He's coming again. Some will be working, some will be sleeping, marriage and giving in marriage. So I think we're going to be here for all you global warmers people. We're going to be here. And yes, there is a global warming coming. It's called the second coming and the fire. That's the global warming that's coming. This world's going to be here when God returns with His Son. So He's prepared a place for on day 1 through 6 for the rest of our lives. Now follow me here. He's done the same thing when He puts you on the earth. After He created man, He created him in what image did He create man? In His own image. That's pretty good company. So do you think that God created anything in His image that was destined for hell? Wouldn't make sense, would it? He created us in His own image so you can go to hell? No, there is no one predestined for hell. No one. We have a choice to make who we're going to serve. So now, let's take this to the future. Now, when you and I claim His promises, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, psychological, financial, whatever it is, I'm telling you right now, folks, everything you will ever need until you leave this world was given to you at salvation. You have to receive it. If you don't accept it, that's right, honey. If you don't accept it, it's just going to linger around you. It's just going to be around you. You'll go past it through life. You'll walk around it in life. But if you choose, as I mentioned, if you choose it, everything you'll ever need in this world has already been provided in your spirit. And here's the way I equated it on Friday night's program, the Connect group. Your spirit is perfect. It's not a growing spirit. It's not a baby spirit when you get saved and grows. It's a full-grown, mature spirit that will be in heaven with you one day if you give Christ your life. And you do, you have His Spirit. Now, John the Beloved said, I wish above all else that you prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. How does a soul prosper? A soul prospers by yielding to the Spirit that's in you. Now you can take on spiritual warfare. See, we're trying to fight in the flesh. We're trying to fight our health problems in the flesh. We're trying to fight our financial problems in the flesh. where God has told you, I have given you a spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's pretty powerful stuff. That's dynamite. You got power, and you can do whatever you want through the name of Jesus according to his will and his personality. See, we need to get to know our Father. That's part of the mystery. That's part of the struggle we have in life is we don't know him. Let me give you one example. If you had a revelation that Jesus loved you so much, he sent his son, and I prepared a place for you, and I forgive you if you just ask, and I'll never remember it again. If you get any one of those revelations, it's going to totally radically change your way of looking at God. His personality is so holy and so wonderful and so caring and so loving that if we simply get a revelation of his personality, it will radically change everything you look at. You'll see disaster around you, but my God is faithful. You'll see situations going around you, but my God is good. You see things falling apart around you, and my God makes sense. I understand now why these happen because I know my God. I know his personality. See, we really don't get to know him. We know to study the word. We know to read the word and stand on his word, which is all wonderful. We need all of that. But when you get to the place where you start to get a revelation on his personality, let me give you one more example. And this was something that kind of encouraged me a little bit. I started praying for different things, and I would say this, Jesus, it's time. It's time. Whatever I'm praying for, it's time. I really felt impressed to do that, so I started doing that. Well, the other day I wrote in my notes for the Friday Connect group about this, and I said, folks, you can equate the word faith with it's time. And then L.A. and Linda that stayed the night with us, I was playing for them some. If you haven't watched The Chosen, it's absolutely wonderful. They're on season 4 now. In season 3, there was a particular healing in there, and Shula was her name, and Barnaby. She was blind, and he was crippled. And they ran across Jesus after Jesus had healed people in the streets. And Barnaby said, could you heal her? And he said, Shula, do you believe I can heal? Oh, yes, I believe. I saw what you did for Mary. She said, it was as if I could see it. He said, Shula, you have more vision than most people in this region. He said, and he walked up and laid hands on her and prayed for her, and then she wouldn't open her eyes. She said, I'm afraid to open my eyes. And here's what he said to her. And I had forgotten this was in there, but God had showed me ahead of time. He said, Shula, it's time. I had totally forgotten that. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was working with me when I was praying one day to start saying, it's time. And I caught that. I told L.A., I said, L.A., I forgot that was in there. And he turned to Shula and said, it's time, Shula. Do you know what he was saying to her? Shula, it's yours. Do you know why he said it's time? Because he already paid for it. Now, of course, he was still walking the earth. How could he lay hands on the sick if he was still walking the earth? He hadn't died on the cross yet for sins. And yet he forgave people. He hadn't suffered his stripes, and yet he was laying hands. How could he do that? Because he did what he saw his Father do. He did what he saw his Father do. So, are you going to draw close to God? He's standing right there. He's right there, right? No matter what you're going through, God is standing right there, right now, in front of you. Now, are you going to approach him? God is looking for a people who are looking for him. I promise you, write it down. If you seek him, you will find him. If you knock, he'll open the door. And there's a key word in there. He said, if you'll seek me, what? With all your heart. That's the big word we leave out. All your heart. Well, I tried. I went to church for a month. My parents are Christians. Where's God? See, that's the flesh trying to walk with God. Whenever you say to me, I don't know why they weren't healed. They teach Bible school. They fast. They pray. They tithe. I don't understand why they're not healed. Folks, you don't earn your healing. God will heal a sinner. God will heal someone with diabetes, and if they go out and continue to live the same way, they can get that diabetes back. But God will heal anybody who comes to Him and what? Believes. There are two cases in the Bible where Jesus showed us how significant your faith is. The woman that begged for Him to heal his daughter, and He referred to her as a little puppy. Y'all remember the story, right? Then there's the centurion that came to Jesus who said, you want to come to my house, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. In both cases, neither one of them were Jewish. And in both cases, Jesus told the woman, if you remember, He told the woman at the table, He said, it's not time. I am called to the house of Israel. Later, He was going to go out and touch the Gentiles. We all know about that through John, through Paul. We know about how He reached out to the Gentiles. But He was telling both of them, He's telling her, it's not time, I can't yet. But you know what He did? Because of her faith, because of the centurion's faith, Jesus jumped right over his calling, right over his present purpose, and healed them both. The little girl and the servant were not present when they were healed. But in both cases, the Bible says, in the hour he prayed, they were healed. In the same hour. So, if Jesus is going to jump over his calling and do something by faith because he responds to faith, what is he going to do with you? No wonder he says without faith it's impossible to please him. No wonder he said that. But oh, make sure that you always lead with love. Something we can't mention enough. So, how do we draw close to God? We start trusting Him by faith through choice. Folks, it's a decision. You don't have to wait for a red flag. You don't have to wait for a disaster in your life or anything. You will choose one day or another in your life to serve or not to serve Him. It's a choice. It's not an emotional decision. You can get saved without any emotions. You can get healed without any emotions. But you cannot walk with God without eventually feeling something because God gave you the emotions. He gave all of them to you, laughing and crying. He gave you all the emotions. See, your emotions confirm God. Don't let your emotions create your God. Or you'll walk in a very fragile soil that is not solid. A tree or the heart will only produce what it grows. Now, the reason why I mention that is because you can only fake it so much. I mentioned last week, you know the kind of people you can fake are fake people. Because you're both shallow. It's all shallow. And we play games with each other. But God wants us to grow in Him and produce life. Everywhere we go, depending on how deep you walk with God, He'll show up more and more. The closer you walk with God, the more assignments He'll give you, the more people that are waiting for you, and the more people that will get help by your very presence. I love working with people in the world. When I was a school teacher, I worked with all kinds of situations, people that had alternate lifestyles and all kinds of things. And you say, well, how do I act? Honey, you love everybody. You love them all. It is not a hard thing to figure out. God made it very clear. Did He not love everybody? Oh, I know He was called to the temple twice to drive them out. I know that. But those weren't people that received Him. If people receive you, they'll receive what you have. Now, they may not show it on the outside. It may take time for it to get inside. But they will eventually. I've had it happen different times. I know one particular teacher that was going through a lot of health situations, and I would see her going to my class, and I'd step in her room before the students get there, and I would ask her if I could pray with her. Well, one day she was out in the parking lot, and I happened to see her, and I prayed for her again, and she hugged me, and she said, I love you. What she was saying was, thank you, you helped me. this has helped me. This is encouraging me in what I'm going through. I didn't promote that. I just simply tried to take one day at a time and love everybody I work with. I've had people get upset with me, and I would simply return with love. I've had people get upset with me over things, and I'd respond with, "Oh, I'm so sorry. How can I correct that? How can I make it better?" See, the bottom line is, when you're with people, you're concerned, and this is so important, folks, you are not to be concerned with what people think of you. You're to be concerned with what they think you think of them. How you act should be more important to you than how they act. You should be more concerned about how you acted instead of how someone treated you. But if we walk in the flesh, we're more concerned about being hurt. They offended me, they hurt me, they this or that. But Christ wants us to be more concerned on how we act, not how they act. And it will change the way you respond to them as well. We already know that without faith it is impossible to please God. So again, don't confuse your emotions with compassion. Because we can be emotional. One way to tell that your emotions are ruling you, and this is a real easy one, and it's not easy to hear, but it's the truth. One way you know your emotions are ruling you is that you're up here, then you're down there. You're up here, and then you're down here. Oh, God is so awesome. You're praising God. The next day, I don't know where he is. See, that's when your emotions rule. That's when you're leading with your emotions. You should be the one in control of your emotions. Now, I realize we all cry and do things unexpectedly and things touch our heart. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you let your emotions make your decisions for you. Where you decide whether to love someone or not based upon your emotions that day. How are you going to love people that despitefully use you if you live by your emotional responses the way they treat you? You got to die in that area of your life. Lay it down and love people no matter how they treat you. How else do you love people like that? The Bible makes it very clear. People that despitefully use you and take advantage of you, you're to love them. Folks, I have to be honest with you. We struggle with loving with people that we're supposed to be loving, that are supposed to be easy to love. We go to church and sometimes we let our tongue wag. And I'm telling you what, folks, you could have a forked tongue as a Christian. You can gossip about people. And you can speak in a prayer language. Do you know there are some people that speak in a prayer language that are absolutely nasty? There are people that have, and don't ask me to explain it all. I don't understand it all. I ask God about it. But there are people that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they have not yet, now listen to me, they have not yet submitted their flesh. Oh, they've opened up themselves to receive the gifts. But now we're going to get into this if we have time today. I don't know. But we're going to talk about how significant fruit of the Spirit is. Because you may have a gift and not the fruit. Let me say that again. You could have a gift but not the fruit. How do we know? Corinthians tells us very clearly. If you speak with the tongue of angels and do not love, you're a sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. In other words, you're just noise. If you're being with someone and get through talking, you just feel like you heard a lot of noise. They're talking about this person. They're upset about this. They're down about this. Oh, I've got this wrong with me. Don't own your illnesses. Don't say, "I have." Don't say it. Folks, we schedule our sickness. We schedule it. Oh, it's flu season. Oh, she turned 40. You know what that means? Don't we? We schedule these things. We are to stand against these things till we leave this world. I mean, stand against it. I was out running the other day, which I do a lot of running, and all of a sudden I had a pain in my right knee on the outside right here, and it really hurt. I was listening to a sermon doing it at the same time, so I took my focus off it for a moment, and I just rebuked it. I said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," not my name. Folks, I can't do a thing, but I'm one-third wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to stop. I command it." It left and never came back. And I had maybe 3 or 4 more miles to go yet. I had probably just gotten started. I just finished starting on my second mile. And that's what happened. You will grow where you want to grow. Say it again. You will grow when you want to grow. When you leave this world, you're not going to be able to say, this caused me to miss that. This caused me to miss that. Because of this over here, I didn't. Because of this. No. You can take 2 people in the same environment, and one becomes a famous doctor, Dr. Carlson, famous surgeon. First man to do surgery in the womb on twins, I think. Or you could be the same person in poverty that's on drugs to this day. Do you think that's where they were destined or they didn't have a choice? That's what we want to think, because we're all victims anymore. All of us. No, you're not going to explain away one thing that we missed. If God is going to keep track of every idle word, do you think he's going to keep track of everything you do and say for him? It wouldn't be fair if he didn't. God's going to know it all. And I want God to write down, I said this last week, I want God to write down anytime I praise him right in the middle of the storm. I want it written down somewhere, because that's what God told me to do. And I promise you, folks, I'm telling you from example, if you will do the right thing, if you will follow the word of God and follow his teachings and what he tells you to do, not what you feel. I see nothing in the Bible that says, tell me how you feel today. No. If you will do the right thing, I promise you that God is going to show up somewhere in your life and is going to help you. His seed will not be left begging for bread. If we will put him first, it's a choice. Let's get away from the emotions right now. This is not about emotions. This is about a choice, a deliberate choice of what you're going to do with your life. And if you decide to do God's will and not your own, I promise you, he said, I have the best for those that leave the choice to me. I prayed 7 years for my wife. 7 years. I prayed, and somewhere along the way, I got a burden for her. I did not met her yet. And I started praying for God to help her. I found out when we met that she was engaged and abused by her boyfriend. I knew nothing. But I wanted God's will instead of my own. That was not emotions. That was a desire to be in the center of God's will. I told God many times, and I don't even know if it's even proper to pray this, but I would say, Jesus, I give you permission to make me do your will. I give you permission because I know when my life is over and I'm on my deathbed, if I don't just go up in a rapture, nothing's going to matter to me. Nothing in this world is going to matter to me except, God, that I do your will. So I was giving permission now before I had a great revelation. I knew that much. So I gave God permission to make me. And every once in a while I say, God, remember, I gave you permission. And so I wanted to meet, you can marry a lot of people and get married. And if once you're married, God's in it. Don't get fought. Once you're married, God's in it. He hates divorce. But I wanted, while I was single, to meet the one God had for me. And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. 7 years. And right at the end of 7 years, I said, you know, Lord, I've been to Israel a few times. I learned about numbers and things. I said, God, I know that 7 is your perfect number, and this coming December is going to mark 7 years I've waited. Could it be, Father, that you might reveal her to me then? Because I was concerned I wouldn't be able to tell the difference if I met somebody. That month, she was visiting our church, and I met her. And she's the love of my life. Far, far greater in the kingdom than I am. She is a rock and stands. And you know why? Because she spends a lot of time in prayer. So God has the best for those that leave the choice. And that means everything, folks. Your job. And let me say this real quickly. If you're in a job that you can't wait for Friday, you're so miserable in your job, start praying, because God has better for you. I'm doing right now what I love doing. Let me give you another example of how God works in your life like that. Do I have time? I got a few more minutes. I was once a radio announcer for Christian Radio, Praise 101 and WSCW in South Charleston. 13 years. Loved it. Not much of a future in it because it was a small market. It's not like Houston, Texas, or someplace larger. So it was a small market. But I loved what I did. We did commercials. We wrote our own commercials and things, and did remotes. I got a chance to interview R.W. Shambach. I mean, just some wonderful experiences. I loved that, but I knew that God was going to move me on. Well, here I am. I'm a school teacher. God says, you're to retire and go into the ministry. And I had it confirmed. And let me say real quickly about confirmation. If you want to make sure God's in something, your flesh isn't in the way, and we all have those times, do three things. Make sure your heart's clear with God so you can trust the leading in your heart. Number two, make sure it lines up with the Word of God. I can't tell you how many people will not let the Bible get in the way of what they want to do. There are Christians that refuse to let the Bible get in the way of doing God's will. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Number three, find someone that's a godly man or woman that you know will not tickle your flesh and see if they'll confirm it in their spirit. You're safe if you do that. Now, what was I saying? What was I talking about? Do you remember, honey? Yeah, thank you, honey. I was being a school teacher, and then God called me into ministry, and I had my mentor had passed away. Oh, godly woman. Oh, godly woman. And I was coming out of the doctor's office. I got a bad report, and I was just trying to praise God and just crying and just saying, God, I just praise you, just practicing my faith, exercising my spiritual muscles. And I was going through the mall, going to a bus. And back then, the Charleston Mall was quite crowded. And I said, Lord, I need to see John Fowler. Moments after that, I hear someone from the second or third floor holler down, John. It was John Fowler. God called us to work under John and Christy Fowler. Well, guess what I get to do under John and Christy Fowler? We have a radio station. And I get to DJ all over again. Is that not something? Isn't that LA? Now that's a God that not only has the best for you, but he wants you. He says, make your request known. God cares about what you care about. I always wanted to design my own house as an art teacher. And I can't tell you a long story now, but it's a miracle story. And God gave me the opportunity to do it. I got a chance to do it. God didn't have to do that. But he said, make your request known. I told a story last week about my sister. When God, she made a list of things that her and her husband needed in a home. And God said to her, what do you want? And she was taken back. What? He said, what do you want? She made a list of what she wanted. And God gave her everything on the list. God has the best for you, which means he knows those desires in your heart that line up with his personality. See, it's his personality we need to get to know. We're knowing the Word, but we don't have the love that goes with it. Why? Because we don't know the God of love. Once you know him, once you get to know him intimately, you begin to see who he is, because when you look in his eyes, you see yourself in the reflection. Because he did everything for us. God is looking for a people who are looking for him. So when we pick up next time, I'm going to go into the love chapter a little bit. I kind of previewed it a little bit, but I want to break down the fruit of the Spirit and the callings, the fivefold ministry and the callings that, and gifts that go with the fruit. I want to talk about those together, because there's a very important point here about how we need to walk in the fruit before we walk in the gift. If you walk in a gift, and the Bible brings this out, closes out very well, and we'll talk about it. You walk in a gift, but not the fruit, you're dangerous. Have you ever seen someone hurt someone with a Bible? Have you ever seen someone argue with someone over the Bible and they win the argument but lose the person? God wants us to act like him. God wants us to be like his son. Jesus said, as I am, so are you in this world. A person can have a forked tongue, and we mentioned that as I close. You can speak in a prayer language and cut someone's head off with your tongue at the same time. That's because they're operating in the gift but not the fruit. Am I making myself clear? We won't talk about this next week on part four of God is looking for a people who's looking for him. I hope you got something out of this morning. God is wanting to take us on a journey, folks. He's wanting to take us to a place where we can have the joy, peace, and rest in the Holy Spirit. You can rest in the storm. Jesus slept in a boat that was overtaken by water. You'd think he'd wake up with water in a boat, but he was at such peace because you know why? Because he knew his Father told him, you're going to the other side. He was going to make it. He's going to get to the other side. And you will too. You're going to make it to the other side, but stay near the man in the boat and trust him. But he asked his disciples when he woke up, he said, where's your faith? He's asking all of us every day. Jesus, we bless you. We lift your name above every name. We enter your gates of thanksgiving, your courts of praise. We thank you, Father, because you are our hope and our joy. Every one of us have hope. We have a reason to have great hope today because if we will choose you this day, then you will take us through this life with great help and encouragement and strength in the middle of the storms that we can endure, not just endure, but we can stand strong with victory. We are to go through storms with victory, and yet there are seasons that pass which should encourage all of us. So, Father, we bless your name today. We seek your face. We seek your will, not our own, and we dedicate ourselves completely to you. And, Lord, help us to be consistent in our walk, and help us to seek your face every day. Every morning when we wake up, let's start our day with faith by proclaiming without feelings who you are and how awesome you are and your promises, and we're standing on them and we're believing in Father, and it's all right if we don't feel a thing. It's all right because that means we really are doing it by faith. And may each one be encouraged today, for God has the best for those who leave the choice to him as we seek your face. We bless you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you have hit like and share, please do that on your, if you have social media, hit like and share. Please do that for me. And share this so others may get some help. And you'll get credit. Do you know that? If you share this program and someone gets help because you shared it, you'll get credit as they get help. Isn't that wonderful? It's all part of the body. We're all in this together, folks. And thank you. So next week, part 4 on God's Looking for a People Who Are Looking for You, we'll begin with 1 Corinthians 13:13, the very familiar scripture on faith, hope, and love. Thank you.